Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Christ International Community Church. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-believing church that is bridging ethnic, racial, and national boundaries to unite people into a growing community of committed believers. We love one family at a time through acceptance, caring, transformation, intercession, outreach, and nurturing. Now, enjoy one of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at Christ International Community Church.
So I intentionally program it into the sermon schedule so that I cannot avoid it. Because if I don't, you can bet I will not talk about money. So coincidentally today, I was supposed to talk about money. And then we had had this idea that we're going to introduce a fundraising effort today. So it kind of worked very well. Plus the fact that you all know I've been treating Corinthians, right? Uh-huh, and this is the one on my agenda next. So everything just worked together for good today. So we're going to talk about money today. Just pardon me. Also, please read the pastor's corner because some of the things I said in there are pertinent. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to just share your word again. I pray that you will take absolute control. Let every word that comes out of my mouth, let it be as you have intended it, and let it accomplish its purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Because we then decided we were going to do some fundraising thing today, so that's why I actually changed this. That, okay, we're going to do fundraising today, and I'm going to talk about money today. I might as well talk about the money first before we do the fundraising. Who knows? Maybe some of the things I'm going to say might actually influence the way you think about giving before you respond to the people who will come to you today. That's the only reason I changed the whole thing around. Hallelujah. And the idea today is to talk about what 2 Corinthians talked about. I didn't want to change the topic. The 2 Corinthians thing is sowing bountifully. So that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. But before I go into the sowing thing, because I'm talking about sowing and I'm assuming that everybody understands what sowing means. Well, in this particular passage, Paul is saying that sowing and giving are the same thing. Okay? And I'm saying that so that we can be in the same page. Paul is saying, because he's talking about sowing. But sowing and giving, as far as Paul is concerned, in this particular passage, are synonymous to each other. So then the question that we should ask ourselves is, what attitude should we have towards giving? And Paul uses this analogy of sowing and equates it to giving, which is kind of in direct opposition to the way we view giving. Because sowing, when you sow, is because you want to reap. Right? You plant something, and because you want it to grow and bring many fruits. Right? That's the way we think about sowing. But when we think about giving, I think of having $1,000 and I'm going to give 100. So it's going to remain 900. So I don't think of it in terms of like I am sowing. I think of it in terms of like I am losing money. That is the way we generally. So that's why I say this is an interesting analogy. When Paul now compares this sowing thing with giving. And I know I'm not trying to be here like a holier than thou kind of thing, because it has happened to me too when I'm writing that check. You know, and I'm kind of thinking, this check can pay the mortgage this month. Remember one time we were here, in this church, and they were asking for pledges. As usual, my wife was on up there, and I was down there, probably where Pastor Samson was sitting. And before I know, my wife has pledged this humongous amount of money. And she didn't even ask me. So when she told me later on, I said, where do you expect us to get this kind of money? And there my wife expressed even more faith than I could say I had at that time. And he said, don't worry. I said, don't worry. Oh, they're going to increase your salary tomorrow. That's the question I asked her. I said, because I know exactly how much I am getting. And I know how much you bring. So I don't know this don't worry thing you are talking about. So don't think what I'm saying here today just applies to you. It applies to me too. And of course, I learned a very big lesson from that, because we paid that money miraculously, which kind of told me that she's right, that God can always do a miracle. You know, and I was sharing that with somebody recently, I don't know. Suddenly, somebody from somewhere else called me. We saw your name on the list of government, on a government list that said some people are owing you money and they have paid it, but you didn't cash it since like 5, 6, 7 years ago. I say my name. So I went and looked on the internet. And there is my name. With money. Of course, my wife won't know. All she does is issue the checks. All I know is the money. So when she was going to issue the check, should I issue the check? I said, go ahead and issue the check. There's money there. I said, there's money there. Because I got paid. I got paid from somewhere that I did not even know I'm going to get paid from. So I digress anyway. So whenever we are making these checks, we are thinking, oh, this is enough to pay my car payment. This is enough to pay my mortgage. This is enough for a month's grocery bill. And we begin to say this because we think we are losing the money. But if we really think about it in terms of sowing, which is what Paul is saying, and the scripture is very clear about it, that giving is sowing. That when you give, you are sowing. Hallelujah. When you think in terms of sowing, when you have one plant, you have enough corn to feed a whole lot of people. Hallelujah. And that's what giving is, as a matter of fact. So this whole concept of sowing and reaping is built into the very fabric of life. Unless you give, you die. Okay, somebody's going to say, why am I saying that? Life itself is about giving. Can you imagine somebody who eats and eats and eats and doesn't go to the bathroom? You will die. So life is about giving, and you receive, then you give. You receive, then you give. If you do not give and you keep receiving, very soon you will die. Just imagine, and I've killed many of my wife's plants in the house. Imagine a pot that doesn't have a hole and has flour in it, and you keep pouring water inside it, and there's nowhere for the water to go. You're going to kill the plant because there's no way for the water to go out. I mean, I don't know this. I don't know. My wife has plants. And just to be a good husband, I want to help her water it. I didn't know that there are some of them, you just put a little water. Because there is no way for the water to go out. So you just want to put a very little so it can be absorbed. Me, I pour water. So I kill so many of the plants. See, but it is about life. Any plant that is not producing, if you see a plant and it's no longer producing, that is, no, it's not budding again, it's not producing any leaf, it's not producing anything, guess what? It is ready to die. It's preparing to die. Because when the plant is still alive, it must continue producing new ones. Hallelujah. So this thing about giving is all about life itself. Somebody once said that the happiest people are not givers, are not takers, but givers. And then they extended it and said that in the society, the happiest class in the society is the middle class. Why? Because they are the people that take as much as they give. In the lower class, always probably just take. And the upper class, they are giving. So you need to give and take. That is what that means there. So this is true of spirituality. It's also true of spirituality. Jesus Christ said, if you want to save your life, you must lose it. So in the passage that my dear daughter read for us just now, I want us to just take note of the following about the act of giving. Number one, if you read verses 8 and 10 of what she just read for us, you'll find there that giving is an investment. Giving is an investment. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And then in verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. When you are a sower, God will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That means giving itself is an investment. In giving, you are investing. Not selfishly, because the giving goes to a good cause. And yet, you still reap some reward. So you can see it's a double-edged sword. When you invest, the investment is used to do some good things. Right? But in the meantime, you also will reap a reward. So it is a double-edged sword. You know, it does good all around. And investment can be in different kind of things, you know. I know when I talk about investment, the financial ones amongst us are already thinking, investing maybe in the stock market, investing in a business, investing. Yeah, that's the way we understand investing, but you can extend it. You invest in people too, right? So when you give to somebody who is in need, you're actually investing in them. And that money you give them can help them to do greater things. So when you do that, it's already bearing fruit. But the fact that you gave that, you yourself, you are going to also reap some other kind of rewards. Hallelujah. So it's a double-edged sword kind of investment. And your reward may not be monetary, but you can be sure you will reap some reward. In verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Giving is an act of faith. Giving is an act of faith. Giving is acknowledging the fact that you know God will do what he says he will do. Amen? I'm telling you now that if you give, you will reap reward. When you actually follow up and give, it's because you have faith
that what is said in the Bible is true. That if you actually also give, you will reap the reward. Amen? So giving is an act of faith. When you give biblically, you are saying that you believe God what he has said. That he will take care of your needs. That he will supply all your needs. That's what my wife did that time. She believed that God will supply all our needs. Even then, the pledge she made was going to wipe away all of our savings that we have. Yeah. And I was afraid that, because I pay the bills. I take care of the bills. She doesn't even know how I pay the bills. So she can afford to write that in, but me, I'm already can do calculation in my head. And you know me, I'm a mathematician. Yeah, Pastor Chris, you are right. I was already calculating in my head that this money goes out of the account. There's nothing there again. And I have this one to pay. I have that one to pay. How am I going to do it? You know? And she, I mean, I told her, I said, don't worry, God will provide. I said, hey, your salary will increase tomorrow, right? You know? But you see, her salary did not increase the day after. But somehow, God provided that money. And that's an act of faith there. Sometimes we do that because we know God will do exactly what he says he will do. Amen? Giving is a privilege. Giving is a privilege. And you can see that in verse 12. He said, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see, You are supplying people's need. How many people can be in a position of helping other people who are in need? It is because you have now. That's why you can help other people. That's a privilege. It's not a right. Because if it's a right, everybody will be in that position. Amen? So, when you are in position to give, always think about it this way. It is because you have. That is why you are giving. You know, my wife's mom just passed, and we started talking about all the expenses. And as we were looking at the tickets to buy, it kept going up every day. Me, I was hoping that it was going to go down. You know, I'm an Ijebu man. My wife is not Ijebu. I was hoping the money was going to go down. So I said, this thing is going up, so I have to buy this ticket. So I bought it, and I was really unhappy about it. That I should have bought this thing the first day. I ended up paying $240 per person more than the first day. Why was I waiting for this thing to go down? So I was really very mad with myself. So I was talking to my wife. I said, you see, this thing that we are talking about, this barrier, $15,000 is a joke. We're going to spend more than that too. And she said, eh. Then I immediately remember that I need to check myself. So I said to her, I said, well, we should thank God that we have the money. That's what I said to her. I said, because if we don't have the money, then what shall we do? Thank God I have paid for the ticket. We were able to pay for it. I thank God for that. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege. There are folks who will be in that position who really need to go home and bury their mom, and they can't afford to buy the ticket. And they're begging and they're pleading. So being able to give my sisters, my brothers, is a privilege. So if you are in a position to give, and understand me now, if you are in a position to give, being in a position to give means you have what to give. Consider it a privilege. Because many people will want to be in your position. Many people will want to have that luxury of having what to give and then begin to debate whether they should give it. But you have it already. It is a privilege. It is a privilege, and we should thank God for it. Giving is an act of obedience. In verse 13, he said, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Giving is obedience. You know, everybody likes to quote that Malachi thing, but yeah. He says, test me. And when we don't give, what he does he say? He says, we rob him. Right? So it is, when you give, you are obeying the word of God. You are obeying the word of God. When God tells you to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it means also with all you are. And that it that includes what you also have. Amen? When you give, you are following through with an act of obedience. So, there shouldn't be too much debate. If there is a good cause that you are asked to give to, the only debate I know should be whether you actually have it. If you have the money to give, there is no need to begin to debate. Because when you do give, you are only obeying God. Amen? Amen. Giving is an act of worship. And you can see that in verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace. Because of the surpassing grace God has given you. It is an act of worship. When you come and return to God a portion of what he has given to you, you are indeed worshiping him for providing all that you have. Amen? I like to say, there are people who believe that it's because they work hard, that's why they have money. And I will show them people who work harder than they do that does not have what they have. Amen? It's an act of grace. God has been gracious to a lot of us. You know, you go out of this place and you walk to the left, and you will see people that are homeless, people who don't have any place to stay. We've come across some of them ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? So we are in a special place. And if you are in that special place, you really need to worship God and praise God for everything that he's providing for you. Hallelujah. Giving is an act of worship. So when Paul itemized all of these things, and then his conclusion was, so when you give, knowing fully well that it is about obedience, that giving is about worship, that giving is a privilege. When you think about all of these things, when you give as much as you can. Don't just give like Yorubas will say, take and let me rest. Don't do take and let me rest. Leave me alone. God does not desire take and let me rest from you. Because he provided everything that you have. So if you want to give, give. Don't pretend that you are giving. Because that's what a lot of us do. We pretend that we are giving. By coming and dancing with everybody, dance, 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 and then we get there, we do our hand like this so that nobody will see what is. And then we just put it there like that so that nobody can see it. In the meantime, it is $2. And you are dancing and dancing away and dancing away. You know. You're not only lying to yourself, you're lying to God. It's okay when you lie to yourself. But when you lie to God, there can be repercussions. You know. And that's the way I look at it. And I'm honestly, and I'm not trying to preach something that I have not been convicted by. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to say something that I've not been convicted by. I think of these words every time there is need to give. You know, I feel privileged. You know, growing up as a child, I didn't even think I would be able to have the kind of things I have now. That is the truth. So when I think about how far I have come, and I know that I owe God a lot. Because I went home the last time, my classmate in primary school was doing sa-sa-sa to me. My classmate. wants to carry my bag just so that I can give him something. And I look at that and I'm like, and he was asking me, Simbo, show mommy money. Simbo, don't you know me again? And I said, I know you now. Why would I know you? Your seat was near my own in the primary school. We were sitting together because we used to sit two on the desk. He was my partner. He was sitting next to me. And now the only way he gets something is to do, Orisa. And he was doing that to me. And I really felt bad. So I took money out of my pocket, and I counted 20,000 naira and I gave it to him. And my brother said, how much did you just give to him? I said, 20,000. My brother said, hey! Why will you give one person 20,000 for what? He said, he's going to go and bring everybody else to come and get money from you. I said, no. I said, but you know him now. He said, I know him. And I said, you know he's my classmate. He said, I know that. He said, but why will you give him 20,000? Because I really felt bad. I felt bad that this is my classmate. And I have all this money in my pocket. What do I want to do with it? How many meat will I eat in one sitting when I sit down to eat? How many cars will I ride at a time? How many bedrooms will I see sleep in at one time? And this is my friend here. He has to beg for me to give him money to eat. He really convicted me. It is a privilege. You have money to give, it's a privilege. He was in a dance when we were in school. He was a smart guy. But here he is. Somehow God made a way for me to go here, and I am here now. But somehow he is where he is. And I really took it like God was speaking to me. Now God is telling me, see, you really need to worship me. You really need to praise me. Because what have you done? Is it by your power that you are where you are now? So when we sow, let's sow bountifully. I could have taken out 500 and give that guy. But I didn't. I felt convicted in my heart. I couldn't just live with it, with giving him 500. I couldn't live with it. It was just difficult. So I told my brother not to worry about it, but I'm giving him. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't take it back from him. And this is the same question Paul was trying to answer. He doesn't lay down a flat rate. He's not, about what Christians must give. All he's saying is that give as your prosperity demands. You have prospered. You know how well you have prospered. Give as that prosperity demands. Don't give the way, some other people who are not as prosperous as you are giving. Don't look like somebody just gave 5. Therefore, I'm going to give 5. Somebody gave 5,000. Therefore, I'm going to give 5,000. We are different. God has blessed us differently. Give the way God has blessed you. That's what Paul is saying there. A man's heart must tell him what to give. It's not about everybody giving the same thing. And that's why I wrote in the pastor's corner. We have not done that in this church. Every time it has come up, I have always argued against it. They do something in other churches. They levy people. They will say everybody should pay $500 or everybody should pay $1,000. Every time it comes up here, I argue against it. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't agree for us to do that. We still talked about it yesterday in our board meeting, right? I said, no, I'm not going to do that because we have not been blessed the same way. If we have not been blessed the same way, why should I insist everybody should come and pay the same amount of money? Every one of us here, and what we try to teach here, we are not trying to trick anybody into bringing money. We're not trying to trick anybody to to part with their money here. All we are trying to teach you is what the Bible says. What you do is left for you. It should be your choice. You should have the freedom to do what you want to do. That's the freedom the Bible gives us too. That's what Paul is saying in that passage. He said it's not by force. He said, but everybody must do as he has purposed in his mind. And you only purpose to do what you know you can afford. Amen? So we're not going to levy anybody, but we're going to appeal to you to look at the way the Lord has blessed you. and bless the world with the work of God in return. I always say something, that here in this church, you can be rest assured your money will be used for exactly what you give it for. That's why when we give that envelope, we ask you to earmark where you want it to go. No pastor is going to take your money here. We don't handle money. The pastors in this church don't handle money. We have people who handle the money. And those people are also responsible to other people. And then the board is the overall. Hallelujah. So in this church, money is not a problem. That somebody is going to take our money and use it anyhow, it doesn't happen here. I am not in control of money in this church. And I will not be in control of money in this church. You go to some other churches where the pastor controls the money. I have a problem with that. And that's why I would not personally, if they say I should control money, I would say no. I don't want to control money. And that's so that we can continue to have that integrity. You can continue to know that your money is safe in our hands. So don't be afraid. Sow into this church because you know that we will spend the money the way you want us to spend it. Hallelujah. And then Paul said we should also follow the principles of harvest. They are what we call principles of harvest. And I will just say that and sit down so that we can do our offering. And the principle is this. He mentioned that principle in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Then he reinforced it in the message that we read today, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's what he said in Galatians chapter 6. And in this 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There are four principles there. And let me just recount them and then we'll go and sit down. One, you cannot reap if you do not sow. Have you seen somebody who does not plant corn and then he goes to the farm and say, I want to go and harvest corn? That's principle number one. You cannot reap if you do not sow. Principle number two, you cannot reap something different from what you sow. My Yoruba people will say if you plant cocoyam, you cannot go there and harvest yam. As close as they are different. Amen? Amen. Principle number three, you reap later than you sow. Or if I put it another way, you cannot reap earlier than you sow. Right? You are planting cocoyam in July. And then you go there in March. You say you want to harvest cocoyam. Unless you have already planted cocoyam before, you can't go and harvest cocoyam now. Amen? That's another one there. And the last principle, you reap in proportion to what you sow. If you plant an acre of corn, you are expected to harvest more than somebody who planted just a 0.1 acre of corn. Amen? I don't know. It's like I'm not clear there. If you plant 10 ears of corn, you should harvest more than a person that planted only one ear of corn. I know somebody is saying, but it's only God that blesses. But where do you start from for God to bless it? You have to start from somewhere before God will bless now. God cannot bless nothing. If you don't put anything in there, then you say, God bless it. What do you want God to bless? Nothing? God has to bless something. Amen? Those four principles are very critical when you think about giving. Some people, when we are talking about give, they don't say, don't mind them. They're just trying to take our money. And then when those who are giving begin to reap the benefits, you are looking at them like, why is it them alone? Because it is them alone that planted. And only those who planted can go and who planted can go and harvest. Hallelujah. We must all understand this principle. It's a biblical principle, and it's a principle that we should all understand. Let me close with this. There are many times we do this. People are always thinking in terms of giving when they have a lot. They will say, if God can just give me 10,000 now, I will give 10% of that 10,000 to the church. They will begin to do the calculation in their head, though. In the meantime, they have 1,000. They haven't given 10% of that 1,000. Are you understanding me? People always want to give what they don't have. They don't like to give out of what they have. They are dreaming of when they will make $1 million so that they can give us 10,000 out of the 1 million or 100,000 out of the 1 million. Yes, they do not want to give anything out of the $10 that they have now. Give us $1 out of the $10 is a problem. But you are saying when you have 1 million, you will give 100,000. There was the story of this guy who has pigs. And he was a new convert to Christianity. And the missionary who converted him has said, Pablo, that was his name, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? And Pablo said, I would gladly give them. Pablo, if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 to the Lord's work? He said, of course. I will be more than happy to do that. And then the missionary asked again, Pablo, if you had 2 pigs, will you give one of them to the Lord's work? And then Pablo said, that's not fair. You know I only have 2 pigs, and now you want to take one out of it? You see, Pablo had 2 pigs, but he wasn't willing to give one out of it. But he was willing to give 50 out of the 100 that he doesn't have. That is how many of us think. My brothers and sisters, why am I saying all of this? Giving is biblical. Giving is a privilege. Giving is an investment. And if you want to look at it in another way, giving is a blessing. Because when you invest and you reap, you are being blessed. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of obedience. So every time you are asked to give, think about it. You are not losing money. You are only doing what the Bible asks you to do. I am not asking anybody to give something that they don't have. I'm not asking you to give 10,000 out of that 100,000 that you don't have yet. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm only asking that you give something out of what you have now. And if you don't have anything, that's okay. You don't have to give anything. I will say it as it is. We don't want to force anybody in the church. We don't want you to go and borrow money to come and give us in the church. No, don't borrow money to give us. But if you have, give. There's nothing wrong with giving out of what you have. We're not asking you to give us everything you have. We don't want everything you have. Please. I know there are some churches where they will say they should go and empty their bank account. No, we don't do that here. Don't empty your bank account for us. Just give out of what you have. Amen? Amen. For the work of God. Especially this work that we are doing. You know, this extension has already taken $350,000. And how many times have we come back to you to ask for money? I can boldly say this is the only time we are coming back.
The announcement we've been making is just to remind people who pledged since last year to pay their pledge. That's all. We have not come back to ask for anybody's money since we did the first one, which I believe is over a year ago. All right? And we spent $350,000 already. So if we are coming to you now and ask and saying that we need money to finish this thing, if we have spent $350,000 and we need $50,000 to finish it, we're in dire need. That's why we are coming to you. It's not in our nature. That's why we are coming. So if we ask you to give and you really do have, please give. And the Lord will help you. How does the Lord respond to all this bountiful giving that we have been talking about? Paul talked about it in verses 10 and 11. He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God has been generous to us. God has been good to us. Most of us, God has been good to us. It's a matter of all of us. And Paul closes in verses 14 and 15 and said, can you who have been so generously treated by God be anything else but generous? That's the question we need to answer. May God bless his word. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Farouk to come.
We believe you have been blessed by the teachings of God's Word from Christ International Community Church. For further inquiries, please visit our website at www.cicciohio.org. God richly bless you.